read this morning from the book of Habakkuk. It's a wonderful book, and if you know how to spell that, you get an A today. Because that is one of those unusual spellings. It's amazing how many questions there are in life that are difficult to answer. For instance, why do they say that the alarm clock is going off when it's actually coming on? Why do they say that? Why do they call them apartments when they stick them all right up against each other? Why do they call it a funny bone when you hit it, it is anything but funny? Why do they say you drive on a parkway and park on a driveway? And why does somebody say I slept like a baby when everyone knows babies wake up every 2 hours? In fact, I sleep like a baby every night. It's just amazing at the things in life that we say things and it just doesn't quite make a lot of sense to us. The name of the book that we're studying over these next three Sunday mornings is Habakkuk. And you may struggle to find it. It's only three chapters long, but this is an amazing book, and it truly applies to life today. Now, the driving question that Habakkuk wanted to know, why doesn't God seem fair? Why doesn't God seem fair? Maybe you've had that thought yourself on something that's happened in your life. You may have uttered the words, that just doesn't seem fair. It just doesn't seem fair. God spoke to Habakkuk, told him to write this down somewhere around before 605 BC, before the rise of Babylon. And it was a time in history when God's people were very corrupt. There was a lot of violence. There was crime and injustice. There was a lot of evil. People were ignoring God and His law. Now, you could say that Habakkuk's world was a lot like the world today. You really could. There were a lot of bad people doing bad things to good people. But even the good people weren't so good because they weren't doing much to fix it. This chapter naturally divides itself into three sections with a final thought in chapter 2, verse 1. Look again with me at the first four verses. The first four verses. The burden which the prophet Habakkuk saw. O Lord, how long shall I cry and you will not hear? Even cry out to you violence and you will not save. Why do you show me iniquity and cause me to see trouble? For plundering and violence are before me. There is strife and contention arises. Therefore the law is powerless and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous, therefore perverse judgment proceeds. Habakkuk is actually asking three questions, and it's three ways of asking the same thing. God, why aren't you being fair? It just doesn't seem fair. First he says, how long must I call for help, but you don't listen? And then he says, when I cry out to you about violence, why don't you save? And then in verse 3, he asks God his third question, and it's actually two questions that say pretty much the same thing. Why do you make me look at injustice, and why do you tolerate wrong? Now, you ever ask God for help, and it didn't seem to happen? That ever happened to you? You ask God for help, you didn't seem to get it? Lord, you said you would help. God, you said you'd answer our prayers, but then I pray for help and you don't help. Why is that? Why do I pray and yet nothing happens? Some of you have felt that way. Habakkuk felt that way. You prayed for things that you thought you were praying in accordance to God's will. You were praying for things that were good, but God didn't seem to do anything for you. Now, maybe you continued to pray in faith, saying, if I just keep on praying, maybe God will do it. But nothing happens. And eventually you start to ask yourself, does God even care? Is He interested in my situation? Is He even listening to what I'm saying? I try to raise my kids according to your word, but now my kids are messed up. But this guy over here was a lousy dad. He never even took his kids to church, and his kids seem okay. I don't understand, Lord. Or another one says, how is it? I try to do what your word says. I try to be financially responsible. I try to give like I'm supposed to, and I struggle to make ends meet, but my neighbor is an atheist, and he seems to be rolling in dough. Or, how come I've got these headaches that won't go away? Or, how come I'm battling with fear and anxiety? Or, how come someone I love is having a hard time? God, it seems like you could do something, but you're not doing it. Why? God, are you even listening to me? This is Habakkuk's situation. This is what he's asking. This is his question. And then he asks his second question. When I cry to you about violence, why don't you save? Habakkuk is saying, God, have you noticed that the bad guys are winning? Have y'all noticed that? Huh? Have y'all noticed that the bad guys seem to be winning? That everywhere we look, wickedness abounds? People do awful things and get away with it. Awful things. Terrible things. And get away with it. There's violence. There's crime, murder, rape, theft. And nobody seems to be getting punished for it. Why is there no justice? God, can't you see that people are being hurt? And I cry out. This is Habakkuk crying out. I cry out, begging you to get involved and stop this violence and all the sinful things that everyone's doing, but you don't fix it. Why, God? Why? And then Habakkuk asks his third question. Why do you make me look at injustice, and why do you tolerate wrong? In other words, in all three of these questions, Habakkuk is saying, I'm just sick over it. I'm sick of all this injustice. I'm tired of people doing bad things and getting away with it. Have you ever felt like that? Have you? Some of us get to a place where we don't even want to read the newspaper or watch the news, like Stan was talking about in Bible class this morning. It seems to be all mayhem and carnage and bloodshed. We hear about these mass shootings just recently, just the first of this month, in El Paso, Texas. And then less than 14 hours later, in Dayton, Ohio, downtown Dayton, Ohio, 9 people were killed. It's just unbelievable at all this. And of course, as Stan was mentioning what happened in Ripley, Mississippi, Jerry Owen is the preacher there, and he's a friend of mine. It was his son-in-law that was killed by another church member when the son-in-law attacked this church member who was a police officer in the city, in Ripley, attacked him for some reason with a knife. Cut him and was continuing to attack him, and the officer fired in self-defense, and it killed my friend's son-in-law. Now, I've preached over there at that church, and I've seen both of these men, met both of them, and of course, my friend is the preacher there. It's heartbreaking, and it's just so stupid, and it's so tragic. And you might be thinking, I've about had it. That's all I can take. That's exactly what Habakkuk was dealing with. That's where he was. And he's saying, why do I have to look at this? Why do I have to put up with this? This is terrible. Please, God, why won't you deliver us from all this? Someone might say, well, it seems to me Habakkuk just didn't have enough faith. If he had more faith, he wouldn't have asked questions like that. Really? You want to say that? Really? It's easy to look down on people when things are going fine, isn't it? But it's a little different when life comes crashing down around you, isn't it? Habakkuk was like many of us. He saw that things didn't line up with his faith in God. I mean, my idea about how God's going to bless his people, and this is not at all it. This isn't it at all. So he has these questions. And then in the next few verses, verse 5 beginning, God answers Habakkuk, and you're not going to like the answer that God gives. And Habakkuk certainly didn't like the answer. Look at verses 5 through 7. God says, Look among the nations and watch. Be utterly astounded, for I will work a work in your days which you would not believe though it were told you. For indeed I am raising up the Chaldeans, that's the Babylonians, a bitter and hasty nation which marches through the breadth of the earth to possess dwelling places that are not theirs. They are terrible and dreadful. Their judgment and their dignity proceed from themselves. God's basic answer is, yes, I do see all this wickedness. And so for your own good, I'm going to punish you. And Habakkuk didn't like that answer, and neither would you or I. Now wait a minute, the Babylonians, aren't those the bad guys? You better bet you they're the bad guys. They are the enemies of Judah. They've been in the process of conquering the known world. Now they're coming after Judah too. And God says, I'm sending them to punish you. I'm sending them to punish Judah. In verse 7, God says they're bad, they're awful people, and I'm going to let them conquer you. Then in verse 8 through 11, he continues to describe this wicked enemy that's coming to punish God's rebellious people. Folks, that was God's plan. And he was carrying it out to apply justice to Judah. You see, Judah was wicked and out of control herself. And she desperately needed help and didn't even realize it. And God was going to help Judah. He was going to punish Judah for their sin and help them to see the error of their ways. Brethren, there are times in our life when we don't realize just how far we've fallen. There are times in our life when we just don't realize where we stand with God. And in those times, we need all the help we can get. And in those times, God will help us. Sometimes that help takes form in someone much more wicked than we ourselves. But God will use all kinds of things to help his people. God says, here's my plan. I'm going to punish the whole nation for their sin, and I'm going to use this enemy nation to do it. And obviously that didn't set well with Habakkuk. It wouldn't with us. Just suppose that God was going to punish America by using the Muslim world to conquer us. Can you imagine anything worse than that? But that's tantamount, that's similar to what God was doing with Judah by sending Babylon to conquer them and to punish them. Now here's a thought for you folks. Don't ask a question if you don't really want to hear the answer. Okay, that's wisdom right there. If you don't really want to hear the answer, don't ask the question. Brethren, we don't really want justice. We're scared of justice because we know that we are all unjust. We know that we are all unrighteous. We know that we all sin. So we don't really want justice. We just want God to fix things, don't we? We really do. We want God to fix things the way we think they ought to be. That's what we want. Lord, can't you just say a magic word and fix all the problems and the evil and the wickedness that's in this world? The truth is, we are just as guilty as Judah was 2,500 years ago. The Bible says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, so we just don't measure up to God's expectations for us. So Habakkuk says, as far as I can see, nothing is turning out fair. All right, so I want you to play a little game with me, okay? You've just become a Christian. You've just become a Christian. You're a child of God. You're not even hardly dry behind the ears from your baptism, okay? And you are so excited, you know, things now in your life, you've put God in control of your life, and things are so different, and you skyrocket to a level of joy that you've never known in your life. You're so excited about being a child of God. Does this take you back? Do you remember? Do you remember? And you start praying, and God answers those prayers, and your life is really changing. and you go to church and the sermon just touches your heart in such a way that you're just so thankful that you were there and you heard that message and it means so much to you. And then after church, you get in your car and your favorite song is on the radio. And oddly enough, my favorite song was on the radio as we pulled into the church parking lot today. That, I'm not going to tell you what it is. Some of you won't know it, and others of you won't like it. That's my, okay, that's fine. That's my favorite song. And it was on the radio as we pulled into the parking lot. And then you leave the church and you go to your favorite restaurant, and there's a parking spot right in front of the door. And everything goes great. They seat you immediately. You don't have to wait. You place your order. They bring the food so quick, and it is the best it's ever been. Life can't get any sweeter. It's so good to be a Christian. Yeah. But is it always going to be that way? The day will eventually come when you go to church and the sermon just doesn't do it for you. And you leave services that morning feeling kind of weird, and you get in your car and you can't stand the song that's playing. And you pray, and instead of God doing what you ask, the opposite happens. And you're going, okay, what's going on here? I don't understand that. One day someone you love gets sick and doesn't get better, or someone you care about gets in an accident, and things don't turn out the way you thought they would. And you begin to question your faith. God, I thought this was always going to be good and you were on my side. Lord, I've been trusting you, but things have changed. Life doesn't seem fair. And I'm not sure what I believe right now. And typically when this happens, folks, when we're trying to follow God but life gets hard, people tend to go in one of three directions. First, they might try to go trying to get back to those good times, trying to get back to those circumstances that were so good, and yet the circumstances haven't changed, and you just sort of pretend you have this psychotic break, or a spiritual psychotic break where you pretend things are great when they're really not, and that just works for a little while. As long as I'll just keep on believing and keep a positive mental attitude, maybe everything will feel great again. That doesn't work for very long. Or the second choice is you get mad. And you're like, okay, God, if this is how it's going to be, if you're not going to do what I thought you were going to do, then forget it. I'm out of here. That's the second choice people make. And the third choice is the hardest one of all, the most difficult one of all. And that's to say, God, I'm just going to have to trust you even when things get hard, even when I don't know what to do. I'm just going to have to trust you. And let me just tell you right now, folks, it doesn't mean that things are going to get better first. They might get, and often do get, much worse before they get better. Things might get more painful. You might have more faith struggles as you face the hard things that come in life, the disappointments. But if you continue to stick with God, no matter what you continue to hold on to him, then over a period of time, he's going to deliver you from the fire. And he's going to bless you for being faithful. James 1 verse 2 through 4 says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Folks, there's a purpose behind everything God does. I'm just going to let you in on a little secret about God. He never does anything without a reason. God is not arbitrary. And he's not mean. He's not vindictive. He's not out to get you. He's not dangling you with a string over the fires of hell just waiting for you to mess up, to cut that string and let you fall. God is not in any way arbitrary. Everything God does in your life, God has a reason. Everything that God allows to happen in your life, God has a reason. And he has something in mind to help you to be what he wants you to be. But you've got to open your eyes. You and I, we've got to open our eyes and realize this is God's world and we are guests in it. We are his servants. We are not the masters. We are the servants. And if we will keep in mind that God is in control, but it's not a control of cruelty, it's not a control of just trying to exercise power over us. It is God is in control in love for us, in compassion for us, in great desire for us to be with Him in heaven one day. And so everything that God does or allows to happen in your life, God has as its purpose, His goal, is to help you get ready to go home. Everything is to help you get ready to go home. That's the purpose behind this. So God may allow you to go through times of doubt, of questioning, of fear. He may give you an opportunity to feel very, very insecure. And there will certainly be unanswered questions. And when God does all this or allows all this to happen to you, He is trying to prepare you to understand something you could never otherwise understand. You see, we think we understand how life should go. We think we know what's best for us. And when things don't go like we think they should, then God is being unfair. That is child talk. That is the talk of spoiled little children. Life's not fair because I didn't get what I asked for. Well, just suppose for a moment that you don't really understand how it's all supposed to be. Just suppose that you don't really understand how everything's supposed to work. Just imagine that God knows something that you don't. Could it be that God has got this, as Steve Martin likes to say? God has got this? Isn't it possible that God has a better understanding about what He's doing than you or I do? Well, this is where Habakkuk was. And so God responded to him. But what God said was not what Habakkuk wanted to hear. God says, Habakkuk, I'm going to use the Babylonians to punish Judah. Judah is bad, but they're worse. But I'm going to use them to mess up your world. Now, will you allow God to mess up your world? First of all, try to stop Him. You can't stop God from messing up your world if He chooses to do so. Will you serve Him if He messes up your world? Will you keep doing His will regardless of what He does in your life? Are you that committed to serving Him? Will you serve God even if everything is taken away from you? Will you serve God though you have to live like Job with sores all over your body and without the love of your children? Will you still serve God if everything you hold dear is taken from you? Habakkuk reacts to God's answer. Habakkuk's first response is, God, that's just not fair. They're worse than we are. Habakkuk didn't understand, but he thought he did. So here's the big question. What will you do when your life seems to be in the middle of Habakkuk chapter 1? What will you do when you don't understand what God is doing and when you're not sure what you believe? You want to believe, but you've got so many questions. Let me ask you a question. Can you be deeply committed to God? I have a lot of questions. Can you do that? Sure you can. A deeply committed believer can at the same moment believe God and have faith, still have a lot of questions. And that's exactly what Habakkuk is going through. And you can see his faith and his questions at the same time. Look at verses 12 through 17 with me as we wrap this up. Are you not from everlasting, O Lord my God, my Holy One? We shall not die, O Lord. Do you see his faith? He doesn't understand what's going to happen, but he knows that God has got this. You have appointed them for judgment, O rock. You have marked them for correction. Talking about the Babylonians to deal with Judah. You are of purer eyes than to behold evil and cannot look on wickedness. This is part of his confusion. How can you use the Babylonians as wicked as they are? Why do you look on those who deal treacherously and hold your tongue when the wicked devours a person more righteous than he? Well, the problem is, your measure of righteousness is not God's measure of righteousness, Habakkuk. Just because you say, well, this person is better than that person, that doesn't mean how God sees it. Righteousness exalts a nation. Sin is an approach to all people. That's true. But the Bible says in Romans chapter 3, verse 10, there is none righteous, no, not one. So because you're more righteous than the next guy, you're still unrighteous. You're still unrighteous. And then he says in verse 14, why do you make men like fish of the sea, like creeping things that have no ruler over them? They take up all of them with a hook. They catch them in their net and gather them in their dragnet. Therefore, they rejoice and are glad. Therefore, they sacrifice to their net. They burn incense to their dragnet, because by them their share is sumptuous and their food plentiful. Shall they therefore empty their net and continue to slay nations without pity? They're worshiping the tools that they've made with their own hands as their God. Their God basically is themselves. That's the problem in Habakkuk. Habakkuk says, Lord, I know you're the Lord God of heaven and earth. You're the Holy One, and we will not die. That's faith, brethren. But then, why do you do all what you're doing? I don't understand it. Now we conclude with chapter 2, verse 1. And here's where you see Habakkuk's incredible faith. He says, I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch and see what he will say to me and what I will answer. Look at those last four words. When I am correct. Are you ready? Are you willing to be corrected? Are you willing to let God change your view of things? Are you willing to allow God to alter your perception of what is and what is not fair? Are you willing to let God educate you and show you things that are from His point of view instead of from your own? Are you willing to admit that you don't always understand things the way they really are, and that you can easily be misled and be wrong? Do you see Habakkuk's attitude here? Though all the questions he has, his faith in God rules over his doubt and his confusion. So what do you do when you're in a similar circumstance to Habakkuk? You hang on to God with all your might and you don't let go. No matter what's going on around you, you hold on. I will cling to the old rugged cross. I will not let go. And you may tell God, Lord, I don't understand, but I'm not letting go. I don't like what you're taking me through, God, but I'm not letting go. Because no matter what happens, and even if things get worse, I can promise you this, God will never let go of you. So don't you let go of Him. Maybe this morning you're not sure about your relationship with God. You're not sure that you've been living like you should. Is God sending the enemy to punish you, to try to make you see your sinful situation, your sinful condition? It's time to step up and make faith in God rule over your doubts and fears. Accept this morning the chastening from the Lord, knowing that God has your best interest in mind, no matter what. That is Habakkuk chapter 1. I hope it's been helpful to you. It's not been fun. This has certainly not been what we might call a sitcom sermon, where you have an introduction and a moment of tension, and then in 30 minutes it's all released and everything's honky-dory. It's not necessarily been that. I've not given you answers. I've given you more questions this morning. But here's the deal. Trust in God more than you doubt. Trust in God more than you fear. And when things don't go right, commit to holding on to Him and doing what you know is right, even if you don't understand why. Because we're not meant to. God's the one in charge, and we are His servants. So look at your life, and if there's anything that you need to change, any way we can help you, we invite and encourage you to come right now as we stand and as we sing.